Before we are concluding our study of the book of Colossians, and I would encourage you to think of questions or thoughts or reflections you have on this whole letter as we get near the end, and we want to consider this. As you know, as we've talked about in the past, the background of this letter is some important individuals and themes taking place in the letter or in the city of Colossae. Two significant themes that we've looked at and talked about is the situation related to Onesimus. As you may remember, Onesimus was a slave who had run away from the city of Colossae and met Paul in Rome, and he became a believer with Paul's influence in Rome, and Paul is encouraging Onesimus to go back to the city of Colossae, back to Philemon. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. It's one of the themes of our closing verses. But the theme that we saw there is Paul's desire or his challenge to believers to really be more Christian-like in their household conduct as opposed to being Roman-like. And this was a reminder to us all that we are to transcend our culture. We're to have an influence on our culture, but we're to also transcend our culture. And Paul would not want us to necessarily be Roman households or American households, but he would want us to be Christian households. In all of our relationships, operating with the idea that Christ is our ultimate Lord. And we saw those themes in the last several messages related to the household codes at the end of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4. Another key theme in the book of Colossians, which will be touched upon today, is Paul's desire to address the false teachers. Remember, Paul had never actually visited the city of Colossae, but he heard reports from Epaphras that false teachers had come in and began to influence the thinking and the practices of the believers there. And again, as we saw those themes as we worked through this letter, the importance there is that we all are to remain in Christ, have our identity in Christ, and not allow anything to compete or take away from our allegiance and our centrality in Christ. These are, again, some of the key themes we've seen throughout this letter. So let's now turn to the closing words of the Apostle Paul as he finishes up his address to the believers here in the letter of Colossians. Beginning in verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." These remarks remind me so much of the message of Philippians that we looked at last year. Philippians was a letter also written by the Apostle Paul in the city of Rome. It was one of the prison epistles, as is Colossians and Ephesians. And one of the key themes we saw in Philippians when we looked at that letter was Paul's continued desire and influence to touch people with the gospel. He talked in the letter of Philippians about how many in the household of Caesar had come to believe in Christ because of his influence, and he also encouraged the believers to have that same kind of an influence on others as well. So there is a theme of evangelism taking place in these final verses. Paul starts off by telling us to be devoted. Devoted. The word devoted really means to continue, to keep on what we are already doing. In fact, you want to compare a couple of English translations, the King James uses the word continue to pray. The Common English Bible talks about keep on praying. The ESV says continue steadily. That is a call. And as you know from all the writings of the Apostle Paul, prayer is one of his key themes. He prays, he wants believers to pray, and as we see here, he wants believers to pray for him. Why? Because his desire is to spread the message of the gospel, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Even though he is in chains, he knows that prayer will help him in that. I'm reminded of our own emphasis on prayer and giving during Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. We do want to give, but we also recognize the importance of prayer. It is prayer that is being watchful and thankful. The watchfulness here is especially important in light of the false teachers that Paul was concerned about. We need to be watchful in our prayers. We need to be watchful in the dangers that we would encounter in the culture around us. This idea of being watchful can also be connected to the prayer we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was encouraging the watchfulness in prayer. Remember the story of Simon Peter. He was not being as watchful as he ought to have been. In fact, let me read to you the account from Mark's gospel about this call to prayer and this call to watchfulness that we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 32, it says that they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. And then here were his words of instruction to his disciples. "Stay here and keep watch." Now, this was a difficult time in the life of Jesus, a difficult time in the community of disciples. And so Jesus is devoting himself to prayer, and he's encouraging his followers to be watchful, in their prayers. And so the context of Gethsemane very much encourages prayer and watchfulness. The same thing can be true for the city of Colossae. They're facing dangers. They're facing false teachers. They need to be watchful. They need to be full of prayer and thanksgiving. Let's finish up with the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, beginning now at verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour?" Verse 38, "Watch and pray that you not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." That same message, that same emphasis can also be seen in the context of Colossians and the danger of the false teachers. There are dangers in this world. There are false ideas, false influences. The best way to be on guard against them is to remain diligent and devoted in our prayer and in our watchfulness. And that's what Jesus encouraged his disciples, and that is what Paul is encouraging us as well. Let's move on now to verse 5. Paul continues, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I mentioned a moment ago that one of the key themes in these closing verses of Colossians is the notion of evangelism. How are we to evangelize? How are we to proclaim the mystery of Christ? Well, Paul tells us here that one of the key ways is to use wisdom. We talked about wisdom today in our Sunday school lesson from the book of Proverbs. We also need to be full of grace, Paul tells us. the notion of being full of grace is kind of the opposite of that judgmentalism or judgmental spirit that so often characterizes our interactions with others. We need to avoid being judgmental. Instead, we need to be full of grace. We need to be full of wisdom. Our purpose is evangelism. Our purpose is to proclaim the mystery of Christ. And how are we to achieve that? Well, I think sometimes we lean toward more of a hard stance, a lack of graciousness. But Paul is reminding us the best way to influence others, to act wisely toward those on the outside, is to use wisdom, to use grace. And here the little phrase is seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. It's a very rich idea there. Salt is actually used in a variety of ways in the ancient world and in the modern world. Salt was a major preservative. It preserved things that were salted. And that's kind of what we are to be. We are to be a preserving agent in the world. But also, as you probably know, salt is also used to make things more palatable, more seasoned with flavor. And Paul says here in verse number 6, let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. Again, that metaphor of the salt can be so richly developed with so many different features of salt, speaking to and applying to how we talk to others. Are we graceful toward them? Do we make what we say more acceptable, more truthful, more preserving when we talk to those? Remember, our goal is to share with others, to proclaim to others, to evangelize others with the gospel. But also the themes we see here in that verse number 6 is the idea of giving an answer to everyone. This reminds me of the passage we see in 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, another charge from the Apostle Peter on giving an answer to those who would question us. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Language is very similar to what Paul just said in Colossians. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Don't you sense the seasoned with salt and full of grace in those words? With gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. As we mentioned already, the key theme here is sharing our faith, sharing our faith. And Paul's telling us how best to do that. Paul talks about being full of wisdom. He talks about being ready, taking advantage of every opportunity. And God will indeed give us the opportunities if we are just ready and willing to take those opportunities. And then finally, we are to share our faith with graciousness and as seasoning with salt. A lot of important themes there and a challenge to us all to carry out the proclamation of the mystery of Christ as Paul did, following his example. Let's go on now in our passage, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Again, this is to be a good opportunity to remind ourselves in the bigger lay of the land. Paul, as you know, was writing this letter from the city of Rome, over 1,000 miles away from Colossae. He said in Tychicus, Tychicus, as we've talked about before, is the servant or the assistant of Paul who carries the letter over 1,000 miles from Paul's writing of it in the city of Rome all the way to the city of Colossae. He is, as Paul describes him, a dear brother, a faithful servant, a fellow servant of the Lord. I think these three descriptive phrases are so important for Tychicus, and also a challenge to us as we think about how others would describe us. What are the chief characteristics that mark our service for the Lord? Paul calls him a dear brother. That's very much of a personal affirmation of him. He was with Paul. He stood by Paul. He was a dear brother, a beloved brother, very personal. He was a faithful minister. He was professional in that regard. He was faithful and he served the Lord in that way. And then finally, he is a fellow servant. He is taking up his towel like the Apostle Paul and willing to be a servant. So we see a personal, a professional, and a perspectival description of Tychicus. Again, it should encourage all of us to think how we ourselves should be described by others. So let's go on now to verse 9. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. As we mentioned before, the situation with Onesimus is one of the main themes of the book of Colossians. It was one of the main reasons Paul wrote this letter. As we said before, Onesimus was a slave in the city of Colossae. He apparently had run away.
Stuff up. So someone used it when we do it. Yeah, so it's a big deal.
You see, one of the things we see in the letter of Philemon is the suggestion that Onesimus may have even stolen something or taken something of value from the his master Onesimus, Philemon. And so when he came to Rome and Paul came to understand his situation, it's interesting